Well, Rube, just like the Eagles to steal the Thunder back from the Sixers on the Big Ben Simmons Day, what do the Eagles do? Special teams coordinator Michael Clay to the podium. Everyone just shifts focus back, and all's right in the world, right?
The Eagles have always done this. When one of the other teams is making big news, like a big contract or something, they will, you know, they'll create news themselves. And I think having Michael Clay come out and, you know, talk about special teams, punt coverage,
his golf game,
kickoff return, field goal game, I think they really kind of diverted the city's attention from Ben Simmons back onto the Eagles. I definitely sense that happening.
Yeah, we felt it. It was actually funny when we had these press conferences on Tuesday. Jonathan Gannon walked out and he was wondering if any of us would even be there. I think he was a little disappointed to see that we were still there.
Yeah, only like six or seven of us showed up, though. It was kind of unusual, but
it was a little unusual. Well, we do have Eagles stuff, and we have plenty to talk about today on this Eagle Eye podcast brought to you by Nissan. With Ruben Frank, I'm Dave Zangaro.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15, discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
We'll talk a little bit of Ben at the end. We can't let this go a whole podcast without talking about Ben Simmons, but we won't get too much into it. We're out of our wheelhouse there. We're going to talk about Jalen Hurts a little bit. You came up with a list of 10 players who need to improve as the Eagles come back from this little mini bye week. And we'll go with some pleasant surprises too, guys who have played better than maybe we expected, kind of your version of Dave's positivity corner in the middle of the week. I like that. But let's start with Lane Johnson. He announced on Monday that he's rejoining the team after missing three games as he dealt with some mental health issues, depression, anxiety. Hope he's well. It sounds like he's doing better and he's back in the building. So that's a positive sign.
Yeah. And really brave thing to do. And important thing to do. And, you know, I think when someone like Lane Johnson or Brandon Brooks is public with their story of dealing with these kind of afflictions, it helps everybody. It you know, it raises awareness. It shows that, you know, getting help, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with talking about it. There's nothing wrong with confronting it. And, you know, I think it's terrific that both of them, and they're both very close, and, you know, we haven't talked to Lane yet, so we don't know exactly where Brandon fits in and what kind of, I'm sure he was, you know, he was with Lane through this whole experience, but, you know, something I never realized until Brandon Brooks went public with his struggles a few years ago, you know, I always assumed, and it's not a topic I really know enough about to speak intelligently, but
that's never stopped us before, though.
It never has. Like, it never occurred to me that someone who makes $10 million a year could be depressed, could be, you know, dealing with this kind of thing. And I think he shed a lot of light on the fact that, you know, it's not about that. It's not about how much money you have or, you know, what your job is or any of that. You could have, you know, a beautiful home and family and a well-paying job and all that stuff and still be dealing with these kind of demons. And I know when Brandon Brooks went public with this, Twitter was mainly supportive and positive, but not totally. But I've noticed, and here we are a couple of years later, that the reaction has been a lot more positive. I mean, I think back then most people were positive and supportive and whatever he needs to do, go do it. But there was also a lot of, how could a guy making that kind of money be depressed? I mean, I work this job. I can't just take 2 weeks off and I don't make any money. And I think we've learned more about it. I think there's been a lot, you know, a lot more conversations about it. It's more out in the open now. For me, that's been an interesting piece of it that I've learned personally is, you know, it doesn't matter what's in your bank account. This is something that can afflict anybody at any time.
Yeah, it's interesting. The conversations become more, even really in the last few months with Naomi Osaka and her withdrawal, you know, it's already been on that stage, but now, you know, Lane's going to be, whether he wants to or not, he's going to kind of be a poster child. And I think he'll embrace that in a similar way that Brandon Brooks has. And they've been, you know, I give Brandon so much credit for how open he's been about it. And it just honest, not open in like, he doesn't talk in medical terms. He just says what he's been feeling and how he's dealt with it. I think that can help people because these are pretty normal guys. You know, I know that they're not in the scope of how much money they make and the job they have, but Brandon Brooks and Lane Johnson are like two guys you'd want to have a beer with. They're pretty normal people. So to see them go through the struggles and talk about it so freely, it has been a good thing. I think it will help other people. So that's cool. We hope Lane's fine. It's something that it's not like, and Brandon's talked about this too. It's not like, oh, he missed 3 weeks and now he's back and he's all better. And it's something he's going to deal with. And it's something Brandon's dealt with. You know, we saw him struggle with it at one time and then he was better, not better, but he didn't miss games for a while. And then he got that contract and it added more anxiety to his plate and then he missed. So it's something that is not going to just go away, but they have each other to kind of deal with it. And I think that will help.
And, you know, it's funny. It's like when you look at these guys, I mean, they're both, you know, huge, like, you know, they're both great athletes. And, you know, you kind of tend to think of some of these guys as Superman, you know, a guy that's Lane size. They're just human. They're just like us. They're just bigger. I appreciate the way the Eagles have been throughout all of this. And I think most teams would be this way, would be understanding and supportive. Eagles have gone out of their way to accommodate any player. I mean, I don't know how the contract thing works. I mean, I don't know if the Eagles could have not paid him. I don't really know how the CBA, you know, characterizes mental health issue, but they've always been supportive of these guys. And there's a lot of things to criticize the Eagles for right now, but I appreciate that they've, and his teammates have been just 100% behind him. Whatever Lane needs, we're gonna get him the help he needs. We're gonna get him the support he needs. And you know, and when he's ready to play football again, we welcome him back.
Yeah, that's the way it's got to be. Especially, look, it's got to be the way for anyone. But Lane, and he's been here a long time. He's a big part of this team for a long time. He's given a lot to this franchise. So certainly, he deserves whatever time he needs, whatever support he needs. And it seems like he's gotten it. Let's kind of flip it to the football side. Assuming he is fully back this week and he practices, he'll go back to right tackle, and you assume Jordan Mailata goes back to left. So all of a sudden your line is Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Jason Kelsey, Jack Driscoll, Lane Johnson.
Another new offensive line. It'll be the first time Jack and Lane play next to each other. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting, but it's a better line. It's a pretty solid group, a couple of young guards. But I mean, Jordan, and look, if Jordan got the rest of the season at right tackle, I'm sure he would do better, but right now he's just a better left tackle. Mm-hmm. And Lane's a better right tackle than Jordan. So, and Jordan's a better left tackle than Dillard. So you're better across the board. I think Driscoll's pretty solid wherever you put him. We know Kelsey. Dickerson has been up and down, so you're going to look for some consistency there. If things stay the same and around here, they never do, but you'd like to see him get a run of games at left guard and try to see some improvement there. But certainly from a football aspect, it's a significant upgrade on the O-line. And, you know, I think the backups, I mean, they did okay when, I mean, they were down to one starter at one point. So, you know, now they're going to be down to you know, now they have three of their original group back. I think those guys did well, but the more of those guys you have, the tougher it is to function. So, you know, Brandon Brooks isn't anywhere close to coming back. Obviously, Isaac's done for the year. We saw Isaac today on the roller going to his car. I feel bad for that kid, but I know you don't feel bad for anybody. I feel bad for the kid. But yeah,
what was that?
I don't know. I said that, and you were like, but yeah, it's definitely a better O line.
It is, and it was interesting. I got I did a mailbag yesterday, and I was surprised. I got two of the same questions, very similar questions, basically asking if it's a good thing that Lane is back, which obviously it is. They're a better team with Lane, but I got the point of the questions was, you know, Lane's getting older, and Dillard's played all right, and Mailata's obviously pretty good. He's under contract, so I think there was a thought that maybe those two guys, maybe there was a future here for Andre Dillard, and maybe, who knows, that could have been the tackle combination going forward. But the counter to that is Lane's under contract through 2025.
Yeah.
So it's not like, yes, he's older, and look, we don't know what his future holds, obviously, but if he can play, he's going to be here because they've tied money and years into him, and they can't move on from him.
Right. And the other part of the equation is his ankle. And, you know, he had popped up on the injury report, and he's, you know, referenced that there's still some swelling. I think, he talked about how he and Zach Ertz, former Eagles Zach Ertz, you know, were rehabbing their ankles together. I mean, maybe the 3 weeks off will help calm that down. I don't know what he was doing physically during the last few weeks, if he was working out or, you know, rehabbing the ankle. Who knows? But it's something to keep an eye on, because that ankle has been a problem for parts of four seasons now. And that's the other thing to keep an eye on with Lane.
Yeah, but I understood the point of those questions. I'm not trying to knock them down, because they have, Andre Dillard is still young enough where if they could find a spot for him and he played well enough, you could see it. But Lane's contract kind of squashes that in my mind. And now I start to wonder with Dillard, if Lane comes back for these next, 2 weeks, there's two more games before the trade deadline. Would you think about moving Andre if you could get something for him?
Yeah, I would. I would, even if Lane was still out, because long term, I just don't think he fits into their future. Now, I don't know how much value he has. Like you said, he did play okay. I thought he did not have a good game against the Buccaneers. Did not play well.
Tough matchups there, though.
Yeah,
no, JPP, no doubt.
You don't want to. You want to trade a one for a five? You know, that's not a good look. But
I mean, what would it take, do you think, for the Eagles?
Yeah,
to do it. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I think your best chance is to get a pick and a player,
another underperforming player.
Yeah, somebody else's problem, and hope that changes scenery. I don't think Howie's going to do it and look bad, like we just traded a one for a five, and I don't think you're going to get a four for him.
Yeah.
So I just don't. I think the only way to do it is to get a player and a pick. But I would do it, because, I mean, you do have Driscoll, who's shown he can play tackle.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen him at left tackle, but we've seen him at right guard and right tackle, and I think he played left tackle in college. So they have LaRaven.
Yeah. I guess the way the Eagles might look at it, though, is yes, he's a first round pick, but we have him for two more years, right? Well, this year and next year under contract. If they got a fifth round pick for him, they'd probably be pretty happy to draft a backup left tackle. They just keep him.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I have a feeling they're going to do something. Trade deadline is November 2nd, so I have two games before that. Howie likes to wheel and deal trade deadline.
He does, but normally he's not in the position they're in now. Like normally he's going after some right. stud players like Jannard Avery and Golden Tate. He's not, you know, the JJ one worked out pretty well. But normally he's in the other position where he's trying to add a piece to get this team over the hump or to make a playoff push. Whereas this year, he said they're not going to be sellers, but that doesn't mean he won't listen to offers if they come in for some of these guys.
No question. Now the problem is just getting to the hump. can't get over the hump until you like find the hump. They're still searching for the hump.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Score big with the AAA Eagles MVP membership, along with the superb roadside assistance and discounts you've come to expect from AAA. Get exclusive Eagles-related perks. For all the details, visit AAA.com/Eagles.
Well, Ruby, the Eagles are 2-4, and they have plenty of problems. Coaching is certainly up at the top of the list, but some individual players have not been performing up to expectations. And you came up with a list of 10 of these guys. You could have made it a list of more. It was probably hard to whittle it down a little bit.
It's funny when I messaged Dave on Slack about the story idea, I hit 20 instead of 10, and I quickly went into edit mode and changed the 2 to a 1. And Dave was like, "You could do 20 if you want." It just might be a little long, but and I tried to pick not just players who haven't played well, but players who have been below expectations and players that we had, you know, higher hopes for than what we've seen. Should we run through these real quick?
Yeah. You have the list in front of you.
I got the list in front of me.
Yeah. And I figure what we can do is not just go through the list, but then kind of give our take on whether or not these players will play better. I was thinking maybe like a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most confident that they're going to play better.
Okay. That's doable. We can do that. First guy, and I just did these alphabetically. I didn't rank them. Derek Barnett. And on the scale of how much I expect him to improve, I'll say 1. I just don't. Just at this point, he is what he is.
Yeah, I think he's had some moments this year where he's played pretty well.
Kind of line of game. He was okay. Got some good pressure, but again, he's out of 38 defensive ends in the league who've started every game or started at least five games. He's one of only 6 without a sack.
Yeah. And because he doesn't have a sack, I think he's not going to finish the season without a sack. So I'll put it at like a 5. I think he's going to get a little bit better. Even if he just doesn't commit penalties, he'll be getting better. It's a low bar, but it's, you're right. And I'm more of a Barnett guy than you. I think he's generally an okay player. He's played below my expectations.
I mean, if it's come to the point where your hopes for the 14th pick in the 2017 draft are that he doesn't commit penalties, that's really a low bar. The next guy on here is Fletch. I don't think Fletch has been awful. I don't think he's been as good as Jonathan Gannon would lead you believe. I think he's been okay. I don't have a lot of confidence that we're going to see the Fletch of, you know, I think his last really, really dominating season was 19. We started to see a decline last year. My confidence level that he'll be the player he used to be is minimal. I'll say a 3 or a 4 that we'll see a significant increase in production.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I'd probably go around a five. I think as he learns the system a little bit more, as long as he's bought into what he's asked to do in this system, which is a big part of it,
right?
I think we'll start to see some improvement there. And I'll be honest, I think teams are going to start shading to Hargrave's side. And if that creates some more one-on-ones, I think he still has the ability, even though he's not, you know, 2018 Fletcher Cox anymore, I think he has the ability to beat one-on-ones. So I think we will see some improvement from him, and it won't just come from him. I think it will come from the added attention for Hargrave.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Third on my list is Landon Dickerson, who I thought would come in, and I thought the question with him was just going to be his health. I thought, if this kid's healthy, and he came back quickly. I mean, he came back before I thought he'd be back, and with that knee from last year, has not played well, period, at right or at left. And, you know, I don't think it's the easiest thing for a rookie to go two games at right guard, two games at left guard to start his career. He just gets beat more than I expected.
Yeah, and we've seen maybe minimal improvement. I think we saw a little bit of a jump when he went from right to left. I think he looks a little more comfortable on the left. But, yeah, I've been less than impressed by him. I really thought we'd see week-by-week improvement for Landon Dickerson. We haven't seen it. So I'm at about a three.
I'm a little higher on him. I do think, the people around him have changed. So I think there are some circumstances. I don't know if that knee is even like, I don't know how strong that knee is. If that's been an issue, it's his ability to plant. I still think he's going to be a good player. So I'll go like a six.
Okay.
Maybe staying at left guard, and if he can have, you know, Jordan on his left every week and Jason on his right every week, you would hope he would start. But and the one thing I like, he's really accountable. I mean, he's not one of these guys who's going to come out and say, you know, I'm playing great. What are you talking about? He understands that he hasn't. I like that, and he certainly, he doesn't say much to us at all, putting it mildly, but he does tell us that he knows he has to be better, and that's important.
Yeah, and he's so young that I get that, and I'm probably too low. I'll bump mine up to – can I do that?
No, you can't. Okay. Well, we're still on him, so I guess you can – yeah, as long as we're on – yeah, you can change.
I'll bump up to a five.
Okay, that's very generous of
three, you. Three was a little too short.
That was tough. Next one I had on here was Jake Elliott. I wasn't sure if I wanted to include him. He's only attempted 9 field goals. It's not a lot through 6 games, but he's missed 2 inside 50. I think a 46 and a 47. Those are 80%. Those are right around 80% kicks in the NFL right now. And they're kicks he has to make. Now, I mean, he made a big 58-yarder. I think it was a 58-yarder. Michael Clay said 56-yarder.
It was 58.
It was 58, right? Shouldn't he know that? I guess it doesn't matter. But he made a 58-yarder, and that was a huge kick. And he's got a huge leg. But, you know, the consistency hasn't been there. Over the last 2 years, he's at 75%. And that puts him 28th out of 30 kickers in the league. It's tough. You know, it's tough when you just use that number, because a guy could miss 3 60-yarders and it hurts his average. But, you know, 2 misses inside 50 is concerning. I mean,
Clay brought up the point, and it's a good one, that the 49ers miss was kind of blocked by Kinlaw.
Right. Right. But if he's kicking, you know, if unless you're kicking like a 60-yarder, if a shorter field goal is getting blocked, that means you just don't have a trajectory on it. So to me, that's a, you know, partially his problem, but we really haven't seen consistency from him for 2 years now. And he's not one of the league's better. See some of these guys making these, you know, kick after kick, and he's just not doing that. And I think a lot of Eagles fans just hold their breath when he's out there kicking. And I know I do. And is he going to improve? I think he's a 75% kicker the rest of his career. So I'll say, you know, I'll say 3 or 4. I'll say 3.
Okay.
Make some really big kicks, and he'll miss some that you don't think he should miss.
Yeah, and that's the tough part about, like, what does improvement mean for him? That's tough. I'll go 6. I think he has shown improvement this year. I really, one bad miss when it came in the last game, And it's a kick you have to make in this league when you're in the 40s. So really, to me, there's been one bad miss. So I'm at a six with him.
Next on the list is Jalen Hurts. And, you know, I mean, we've talked so much about him, but the one thing you want to see is him string together good games, and he hasn't done that. He's missed open guys. There's a lot to like about him. And you're never out of the game with him at quarterback. He's able to use his legs to really keep the Eagles in games. And in the last couple of weeks, he's done that. Late in games, he's used his legs for downs. And it seems like when he's running more, he seems to get into a little bit of a rhythm throwing the ball. You know, you'll see him take off a couple of times and then whip one down the middle of the field to Devontae. It's like a pass that he would have made earlier in the game, but he's just staying in the pocket. It's interesting. He's still finding his way. I don't know what the answer is, but the Hurts all the last 2 weeks, he's just got to be better than that. I mean, he's, you know, I think 46%, I think 52% against Carolina. Those numbers have to come up. He's got to be, you know, he doesn't have to be a 66% guy. I think when you can run like he does, but he's got to be a 62% thrower, I think, to be an effective quarterback in this league. And the last couple of games, we just haven't seen anything close to that.
Yeah. And it, like we've talked about this so much, it's not all on him either. Like the coaching staff probably has to figure out how to utilize him better. And look, there's some both ways. I think he's kind of limiting the coaching staff, and the coaching staff is limiting him at times. I do think he will improve, though. Honestly, a lot based on the competition they're going to face the rest of the year. There's some easier matchups. So I'll go eight. I think he will improve this year. I don't know if that means he'll improve to the level where he's the guy. I think he's got a long way to go before that, but I do think he'll get better.
Yeah, I do too. I'll probably go seven. Because, you know, we've seen extended stretches where he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
We've seen extended stretches where he's a bad quarterback, which is kind of similar to most young quarterbacks. You know, he's 10 starts in now, and it's time to start seeing consistency.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
I'm sorry?
Who's next?
Great record. Ryan Kerrigan is next. Let me give you a snap count week by week as an Eagle. 35, 32, 27, 22, 21, 18. He's now at half the snaps that he started. He has one tackle this year and 155 reps. And that's when Chuba Hubbard basically just ran into him. Ran into him, and Kerrigan was like, oh, okay, tackle you. Jonathan Gannon says he's playing better than his numbers would indicate. I beg to differ. I just don't see any impact. And my confidence level that he'll improve is about a one.
I'm with you on this. And look, there have been some brief moments where I'll notice him on a rush. I think he drew a couple holds a few games ago. So it's not like he's out there, you know, just doing nothing, but you expect more from him. And to say that he's producing is just not accurate. He's not. He has one tackle in six games. And look, Gannon's going to defend his guy and say that, you know, he's doing what we ask him to, which might be true, but you ought to ask him to make a tackle then, because he hasn't. This is a guy that has a heck of a resume. This is at a point in his career was a fringe Hall of Fame trajectory type of guy who really has made virtually no impact here. He needs to be better. And my confidence level is going to be better. It isn't very high. I'm with you. I'm like a one or two.
Yeah. And you know, when you lose Brandon Graham and your reps still go down the way they have, mm-hmm. that's, you know, I mean, they really need him to not be a 10 sack guy, but just to be a factor. And he hasn't, especially with BG gone and Derek Barnett hasn't really done a whole lot. And Josh Sweat's been okay, but nothing better than that. We'll get to him. Next on the list is Jalen Reagor, who I just haven't seen it. His numbers are down from last year. They seem to be trying to use him as a, you know, almost a gadget player, catching short stuff and hoping that he can break a tackle or somebody will miss him and get some yards after the catch. They never throw down the field, rarely throw down the field to him anymore.
One time they did, he went out of bounds.
Yeah, he did. 17 catches. He's on pace for 300.
And then there was one where he just stopped running.
Yeah. And we saw that a couple of times last year, at least once. He's 117th in the NFL in receiving yards. And his numbers are down from last year, which is the most concerning thing. He's down from 36 to 23 yards per game and 12.8 to 8.2 yards per catch. And in the Buccaneers game, for the first time in his career, didn't have a catch. Again, I don't think it's all his fault because the play calling and Jalen's been inconsistent, but just haven't seen any sign that this is a guy who's, you know, going to be anything more than a gadget player.
Yeah, and it seems like they're almost resigned to the fact that that's what he is in this offense, which is even scarier. You know, it's like this is his role. An end around here or there, a bubble screen. Shane Steichen was naming off players Tuesday that are big playmakers they want to get the ball to, and he didn't mention it. Yeah. Maybe it was just a slip and he forgot him, but this was last year's first-round pick.
He mentioned Deion Kane and didn't mention
– He did not.
He didn't mention Deion Kane, but yeah. But, yeah, it's alarming. And, look, I never –
It's also alarming about how – like, you look at last year's draft, how many receivers – taken after him, you'd rather have to six, like, seven, eight, nine players pretty quick.
Yeah, 10 or 12. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this team's record, Howie's record in first round picks. And again, I don't like to even characterize any draft pick for 2 years. You look at the first 2 years, but, and he's got, you know, 11 games left in those first 2 years, but not looking good, going the wrong way, trending backwards. And guys who were taken after him are obviously doing really well. This could be a catastrophic draft pick.
Yeah, it's a shame too, because you see the athleticism. It's there on the rare chance where he gets to make a play. We see it on the returns on occasion. There have been a few plays here or there, like the touchdown that didn't count. Like there are moments where you see glimpses of it in training camp. We saw glimpses of it. And I think that's the more frustrating thing, because I think there is talent in there. And for whatever reason, he can't put it together. And it's been frustrating to watch.
Yeah. Do you have a number on him? I think I went three. Alex Singleton's next on the list. Played really well last year. He's still getting a lot of tackles. He's third in the league in tackles, but a lot of them are like 12 yards down the field, which isn't doing anybody any good. It could be, you know, one of those deals where, you know, these undrafted guys sometimes will have a good year, will shine, but they generally will come back to earth and kind of find their level. You know, water finds its level. And it seems like he's done that a little bit. And he's still very high effort player. He's still tough. He's just not playing as well as he did last year. Yeah, and his snaps are down. I mean, he had his lowest snap count last week, other than the Atlanta game when they rested some of the starters at the end, but it was his lowest snap count this year and his lowest, I think, since he started playing the middle of last year.
Yeah, the snaps are always a pretty good indicator because the team tells you who they like. You know, it's pretty clear cut by who they're playing, and the fact that he's losing snaps now and they're getting guys like Davion Taylor, and we'll see if they start to mix Sean Bradley in at some point, but that was my point when I wrote about Davion a few weeks ago, was that if the linebackers are going to stink, I'd rather them stink with a young guy who could get better. I don't know what to expect from Singleton. I think it was probably unfair for expectations to be super high for him.
He played pretty well last year.
He did play pretty well, but it was such a short stint, and he was great. But yeah, will he improve? I think he'll be a little better than what we've seen throughout. I'll go six on him. I don't think he's ever going to be a Pro Bowl level player, but I think he'll play better than what we've seen.
Okay. I'm in about the four range, I think, with him. Maybe 4.6, 4.7. But yeah. And I also think, and you know, the linebackers get criticized all the time and deservedly so. I still think a lot of that blame goes on the D-line. I mean, this D-line is supposed to be elite. I mean, you have an elite D-line, can overcome some of the deficiencies of your linebackers, and they're not doing that. So,
and they're counting on it. That's the problem.
Right. I got two more guys on here. Josh Sweat hasn't been terrible. He's been their best edge pressure guy, which is a low bar. And there's times where you see why this team wanted to give him $40 million contract. You see flashes of it. I thought he was going to have a real breakthrough year where the difference between Josh Sweat this year and last year was pronounced. We haven't seen that. He's been okay. Again, it's not all about sacks, but 1.5 sacks in 6 games. He's our only edge rusher with a sack. So all their outside rushers have a total of 1.5 sacks. He's got them all. I expected more.
Yeah, that's fair. And he was a big breakout candidate in training camp. He was great during the summer and they paid a lot of money. I do think he'll be better. And I don't think he's played bad.
I don't either.
I get what you're doing here relative to expectation. Because I think he's played well. He's given them some pressure. I'm pretty confident he's going to be better the rest of this season. I'll go as high as 8 on Josh Sweat.
I'll go about a 6.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll go about a 6. If it wasn't for the contract, then he might not even be on this list, but that's the reality of the NFL. When you get $40 million, you know, you need to play like that kind of player. And he hasn't. The last guy in here, and I think we'll both agree, is about a 0 on our improvement scale, is Eric Wilson. And I don't even know why I put him on here other than the fact that he's been such a disappointment. And I didn't expect a star, but he's looked lost out there. And his snaps have gone down also. It's crazy how every linebacker snaps have gone down. But Davion Taylor and Jannard Avery have gone up. They're looking for the right combinations. But Wilson's been a big disappointment.
Yeah, they didn't pay him a ton, and I thought it was worth a shot. It hasn't worked out. You know, I've seen about enough of Eric Wilson.
You think he lasts the season? Are they going to Zach Brown him?
He's not Zach Brown. He's not.
Zach Brown probably played better than him.
I'm not talking about play. I'm talking about having him around. Zach Brown was an opinionated fellow, and I think there was more than his play that led to his release.
Probably.
Yes, and Wilson's not that. I mean, he is, by all accounts, a great guy to have around in the locker room, in the building. So
just not on the field.
Just not on the field, which is a problem, don't get me wrong, but it might not be enough to make an example of him. I think the Zach Brown cut a few years ago, that was like, make an example of this guy because he's not doing the right things, whereas I think Wilson might be doing the right things during the week and just not when it counts, which is a problem, maybe not a cuttable offense.
That's fair.
Benchable, sure.
Yeah, and we're seeing that. You want to go real quick, each pick a couple guys on the flip side?
Sure, pleasant surprises. Let's just ping pong it back and forth. You take the first one.
I would say Steve Nelson. I think Steve Nelson's been pretty solid. You know, with this team, the expectations that a cornerback's going to suck. I mean, let's face it. You look at their track record in the post Lito Sheldon Asante era. And other than 17, when Darby and Jalen Mills kind of both had career years. I mean, so I would start with Steve Nelson.
That's a good one. He's been really solid. And when you don't think about a corner that much, it's probably a pretty good sign. I'll go with the obvious one and say Javon Hargrave. He's playing like a beast right now, and it's fun when you see a player play this well in training camp, and you always kind of hold your breath when you talk up a player a ton coming out of a training camp, but he's proven it. He's been really good.
I'll give you Kenny Gainwell, who the last couple of weeks hasn't really gotten the ball, but has a real flair for catching the ball. Better than almost any rookie I've ever seen, as far as just secure hands, soft hands, and getting yards after the catch. And he's a tough runner. he might only get 10 touches the rest of the year. I don't know, but I had high expectations coming in just because he looked so good in camp, but to do it in games has been fun to see.
Yeah. I'll say Quez Watkins up there among the league leaders in yards per reception. He's given them some big plays when they needed some big plays. So
nobody else.
I'd like to see him get more targets, you know, and he started to overtake Jalen Reagor in snaps, which, like we said, watch the snaps. It'll tell you a lot. And I think they need to try to get him a little bit more involved.
How about Andre Chachere?
Oh. Is that how you say his name?
I think so.
What'd you say?
Chachere.
Is it Seychere?
I think it's Chachere. I'm not sure. I don't know. But
I've asked people a million times and I always forget.
Now, normally we could just walk up to him in the locker room and say, how do you say your name?
Yeah, but I'd have to do that every day because people keep telling me and I keep forgetting.
But anyway, he's been by far their best special teamer, I would say. As far as coverage, really good.
Yeah.
Just a guy they picked up off the street. That's all I got. I mean, I tweeted
about Punter's been all right.
Punter's been all right. I think Jannard Avery's been better than – he's a guy I didn't think would make the team.
Driscoll's come back and played all right.
He's played
two fine. Spots. Yeah.
I would have said Dillard if he asked me before the Bucks game, but he's been okay. But there's not a lot of them. At Nissan, we just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever with our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. The choice is yours. Now get great offers across our full line. Shop at your local Nissan store today at NissanUSA.com.
Rube, I did that mailbag like I mentioned a little bit ago. I was surprised. I got a few questions about benching Jalen Hurts, and it seems like it's become a topic around town recently. That doesn't make sense to me. I think that we came into this year knowing, all right, it's his job, see it through with him. And after 17 games, then you make a decision. It would take something pretty drastic for me to bench him this year if I'm the Eagles.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if he strung together like 5 or 6 straight games, like he played against Tampa, but even then, you know, he has that flair for keeping the team in the game. I mean, they still scored 22 points. You're not going to – I think that the times you think about benching a young quarterback are when he just looks overmatched and, you know, he's taking hits, he's getting – you're just afraid physically that he's not going to hold up. Or he's just giving you so little chance, like Luke Falk, that kind of – some of these guys we saw – who was the guy we saw for the Cowboys –
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, Ben. I mean, those are the kind. But Jalen's not playing at that level, and you know, he's had enough good moments to really warrant more playing time and or all the playing time to try to figure out, like, for the coach to figure out how he can get back to what we saw against Atlanta, what we saw against the Chiefs, what we saw, like, late in some of the other games, at the end of the Dallas game, and that ability to make plays late in games, and get your team back in it. I want to see more of them, not less of them. And I'd like to see the coach do more for him in terms of play calling and balance and, you know, running game, obviously, to give him a better chance to succeed, because I don't think he's had that. And I think he's done enough good things to warrant a long look. And, you know, it's not like you're going into this thing thinking we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, this year's about Jalen Hurts. It's about Jalen Hurts. And if you start playing Flacco or Gardner Minshew, whatever his name is, you're losing an opportunity to learn everything you can about Jalen in a year where your number one goal is to learn everything you need to know about Jalen Hurts. So I want to see as much of Jalen as possible. I don't think things are ever going to get that bad where, you know, that has to be a consideration. I think he's, as long as you see a confident kid who's working hard and, you know, he's still putting up 22 points a game, just keep running him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't the think players even... like him. You know, they respond to him, they listen to him. It wouldn't accomplish anything.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't accomplish anything to go to Joe Flacco, because what are you doing then? Are you trying to like win a game and get the 7 wins on the season? Like, what are you doing at that point? I guess you could make an argument that Gardner Minshew is young enough and he's had some success in the league that maybe you want to see what you have in him, but that would be like a last resort thing to me. This, you're right. This is about Jalen Hurts, and he hasn't played well enough. The coach hasn't done a good enough job. I don't think those two, and this is the scariest thing to me, is after 6 games, they don't seem to have a feel for each other yet. And it doesn't seem like that marriage is working. And it makes you wonder if it could ever work. But I want to find out. I don't want to abandon that after 6 games. So, yeah, I understand the frustration from fans and wanting something different, because what's in front of you right now isn't working. But I think they have to see it through.
Couldn't agree more.
All right. Ben Simmons, real quick. It's amazing. This story is TO level.
It is. I mean, it's, the only thing missing is sit-ups in the driveway. I mean,
well, seriously. The only thing missing is a personality from the subject, because T.O. was entertaining.
Ben's was not. Push-ups. It was push-ups, right?
It was sit-ups.
Sit-ups, yeah. My bad.
Yeah,
T.O. was funny and entertaining. And
People were on T.O.'s side. There were people on T.O.'s side.
There's nobody on Ben's side.
Nobody on Ben's side.
I might have been the last guy. I mean, up until that last playoff round, I was still a Ben guy. I was like, this guy is so talented. But then, yeah, then I think it was, I put a lot of the blame on Maury as well, because it never should have gotten to the point where this happened, where he came back to the facility and try and went through a practice that he didn't want to be a part of. And he can't be a part of this team. I mean, he shouldn't even be here. Maury should have just taken anything he could have gotten, no matter how little it was, or else you do a, you know, you just, you know, he stays with the team, but you don't have him with the team, like T.O. in 05 when he was just banished. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anyone to have Ben just being a distraction right now. I mean, this is a team that has, there's high expectations around the Sixers. I mean, they're a good team. He's not doing anything except hurting their chances right now. And you just got to get him as far away from Camden as possible at this point, I think. I mean, you take whatever you can get, whatever the best offer is, get him out of here. Far, far away.
I do enjoy it, though. I love the drama.
It is kind of fun.
It's we were at
the coordinator's presser in a tent outside the NovaCare complex today, and we're just like following each tweet, like, oh, Ben did this. Oh, my God, Joel said this. Oh, my God, Doc Rivers said this. That was awesome. Usually it's us like tweeting that stuff out.
Yeah, and everyone is also going crazy. You're right. It's fun to be in that position. And it is funny that there's, Zach Ertz leaves the city right now, basically. And there's like the most Philly guy, like a guy who became the most Philly guy and the least Philly guy. And the juxtaposition is really comical to me.
Yeah, it's true. And those quotes, some of those quotes from Zach from when we talked to him, if you just substitute Ben's name for, you know, people, like it would, like they apply so beautifully to Ben Simmons. Yeah.
All right.
You think he'll ever play another game for this team?
Zero chance. I hope he does on, Friday night in the center? That'd be fun. I'd love that. All right, let's wrap it up. If you enjoy the Eagle Eye podcast, please rate and subscribe wherever you get your pods. If you're watching on YouTube, please click the like button there and subscribe there as well. We'll be back with you later in the week to try to break down this game against the Las Vegas Raiders. I'm happy I just nailed that one. And we'll talk to you on Thursday. For Rube, I'm Dave.
You're proud because you got the name of a team right.
I am. You'll probably call them the LA Raiders or the Oakland Raiders.
Call them Oakland. They're Oakland. Oakland Raiders. All right, that's where Nick Foles threw 7 touchdowns. They're the Oakland Raiders, period.
Fair enough. We'll talk to you soon.